Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome once again to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com. I'm your announcer, Reverend James of folkcodger.com in North Carolina, and in just a moment, we'll be joined by our co-host, Catherine Ironwood of luckymojo.com in Forestville, California, and Conjureman of conjuremanconsulting.com in Mission Viejo, California. This week, we welcome a special guest, Papa G of folkmagicstudio.com in Nashville, Tennessee, bringing us today's topic on zoological magic. They will take your calls and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection using traditional African-American folk magic practices of hoodoo conjurer root work as defined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual hoodooists of our time. You can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and called into the show, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a moment. But first, let's catch up with our co-hosts, Catherine Ironwood and Conjureman. Miss Cat?
Hi. Nice to hear your voice, James. Tell me first, before I start in on it, how are things with you?
Things are well, although, you know, last week I was saying we got some warm weather. We woke up this morning to frost everywhere. but other than that, we've spent a really nice day because it did kind of warm up a little bit through the day. And my mother came over and her husband and Art and I, we went out to the local flea market early this morning and found lots of little neat, nifty little things. And one of the things I'm really proud of is we found a set of two Chinese people getting married, a man and a woman, and they're in this plastic case with lights surrounding, kind of like on the front of like a stage, you know, like stage lights.
Mm-hmm.
And you plug it in, and then they bow. And they're,
wow.
It's them in their married costume. It's very pretty. It's Chinese costume and people, but the whole thing was made in Korea. You could see that written on the back. So it's very interesting. Oh. We got
wow.
it for $30. It's about
cool.
2.5 feet tall.
Wow. Interesting item. What a very interesting item. You know, I love cake toppers, wedding cake toppers, you know. So that's sort of like goes cake toppers one further. They're in their own box, you know.
Yeah.
That's neat. Well, things here are very confused weather-wise. We've had rain again, and we've had sun again, and it's just what it is. You know, it's like one thing and then another. So we went out this morning to a nice little cafe near us called Willowwood Cafe, and we had a nice brunch with friends, and it was all really great. And we went antique shopping, and we found some old postcards, and we looked at a bunch of Chinese and Japanese porcelain, but it was a little beyond our reach. So we went home with some pretty postcards. So today has been, I guess it's a flea market-y, antique-y day for everyone. So, other news from around here is I am still working on the collection of spells from past Hoodoo Heritage Festivals, and I've got them all in order now, and I'm beginning to pop them together. I'm expecting another contribution from Gregory. I mentioned last week that Papa G had given us a wonderful new page, two pages, on Tarot, and he's promised me more, and maybe he's going to be our guest today, so maybe I can poke him a little bit about when I'm going to get those, because I need to get my book together. Right? And So I need to get my page count firmed up, and that means that any pages that Papa G or Reverend Roy turn in, or any of the other people associated with their group or their festival turn in for this book, that means the fewer pages I have to write. So that's the truth.
There you go.
But it's looking good. It's looking very good. We've got a nice balance of things. No more texts on spirituality for this particular book. We have enough spirituality. We need more spells and divination, if possible. You know, every time I do one of these compilation books, it's kind of the mood of the time takes over. And one time it'll be all spells and almost no spirituality, but it'll be a lot of divination the next time. And so this one is a lot of spirituality and prayer articles, and not as many articles on spells. But I can always fill them with my own articles, of course.
Did you share what the book topic was? I might have missed that.
The book topic. Oh, this is the golden folder.
Ah, gotcha.
This is going to be another big, I'm sorry, I did not explain that. This will be another big 8.5 by 11 book, like the black folder and the red folder, which are perpetually among our very best-selling titles at Amazon and at Lucky Mojo. People love these books because they get to have a sampling from everybody that they know through air, and many other people too. And yes, you will be in this book, Conjurman. Right? And so will Papa G. And all of our good friends have articles in here. So this is going to be a nice book. But as I said, if I run up short, I would just add a few more things of my own older flyers from the 1990s that I haven't ever put into a book. And I still have them in digitized form. So the other news I have is our winner. And so we have a Facebook Fridays winner for March 22nd, 24, and this is James Schroff. Schroff. I like that name. I've got to say it one more time. Schroff. James Schroff has won the Seven Circles of Fortune Luck Bath Sampler Pack, and that consists of bath crystals that are of the following type, seven of them: Lucky Number, Lucky Mojo, Lucky Buddha, Lady Luck, Good Luck, Fast Luck, and Lucky 13. One each of all of those make a package of seven Good Luck Bath crystals. So congratulations, James Schroff. And if you are a winner this week, please respond to the message that you'll receive from Lucky Mojo Facebook page. Send us your mailing address for shipping purposes. Do not respond to anybody who tells you that you need to give your credit card number in order to claim your prize. Those are scammers, and we're trying our best to get rid of the scammers, but we would be damned if we let the scammers drive us off of these Facebook giveaways, which we've been doing since 2014, and we want to keep on doing them, and we enjoy doing them, but always have to warn people, we will never ask for your credit card in order to send you a gift, because we're sending you a gift. So there you go, James Schroff. All right, well, nothing else too new around here. Oh, I do have one other thing to say, just very quickly. A graduate student of my Hoodoo Root Work Correspondence course named Santi Shakan has been working with me every other week on goals and aspirations and prayers and affirmations. And we have a wonderful time talking with each other and saying grace. And he asked me, what do you want most for your company? And he was going like, do you want this or that? And he had a whole list of things I might want, none of which I wanted. And I said, I want more wholesale customers. And in the week and a half since that prayer was said by him and me and affirmed and grace was said over the possibility, I just want to say thank you, Santi. Now we have so many wholesale orders. They're piling up on the floor as we have to make more things for them. We got seven wholesale orders, and I mean giant wholesale orders. These aren't your little $200 minimum orders. They just keep on coming in, and he doesn't know when to stop. So thank you, Santi. The best the best business prayer I've ever heard, and it just keeps on happening. So, and all of you guys who are thinking of ordering wholesale from Lucky Mojo, please do so, and I can thank Santi some more. So that's the news from here. And especially, please order books because they're easier for us to ship. Books and oils. But if you start ordering incense, it's going to take us a while to make all your incense. So be cautious on that one. All right. So that's my news. All is well. And, and we had our first meeting of the Railroad Club, business meeting for our club. And we are planning our railroad layouts for this summer. So there'll be news on that, of course, as we go along. Often when we have Railroad Club meetings, Nagashiva and I cannot make the show if we have to go to a Railroad Club meeting because, well, that's another part of our life which we have to pay attention to. So be prepared. Summer is coming, and we may be going and visiting railroad layouts. And anyone who's interested in model trains, please contact us. We will get you set up with the model train world that you so richly deserve and desire. All right. How about you, countryman? What's going on in your life?
You know that you reminded me when you said wholesale that I am actually running low on supplies, so I'll be putting in an order tonight at some point. I was literally just looking. As you were talking, I glanced right over at my altars where I have John the Conqueror and Fast Luck, and both of them are running low. And I looked at them like, oh yes, these. I need to replenish a little bit more of these. Oh, thank you for that reminder, Kat. Otherwise,
well, and you know, can I just use that as a promotion? People who are moderators on the Lucky Mojo forum, or who work on the radio show, get gift certificates, and so Conjurman can order his wholesale stuff at no cost to him because he has gift certificates awaiting him.
I'm very much looking for, because I use John the Conqueror so much, and we all have that, right? Like, root workers have like a go-to oil, oils that they use quite frequently. For me, it's John the Conqueror. I use John the Conqueror in so many different workings, not just in matters of luck, but in like giving a working a little bit of an edge. If I'm working on love matters, on health matters, on success matters. So John the Conqueror, I go through my John the Conqueror route. And I should mention that like one of the coolest things that you can order is the Root Worker Special, which is you can blend the oils that you want into a much larger bottle. And I've used that in the past, and that lasts you a much longer time, particularly for those of us that do root work or who have a particular blend. I'm not going to give away my secret blend because I have a couple, but I've been actually using them in some really cool workings this past month. And so I've been very busy in regards to clients. And as I mentioned previously, there was like a radical shift that happened right after February where everything became work and money related clients. And so I've been continuing with that, people trying to move jobs, people trying to get promotions along those lines. And it's been mostly very, very proof of work. I love doing forward thinking. And I don't know, I'd love to hear both of your opinions on this, as Papa G and yourself, Ms. Kat. I love forward thinking work, like work where people are like planning their future rather than like triage work, you know, where like, oh my God, my life has fallen apart, I need you to fix it. Don't get me wrong, I'm hoodoo special teams over here, special forces. I'm happy to do that type of work. I'm happy to help in big emergency cases like, oh, you've just gotten into a massive breakup, or your husband is, you know, left for the mistress and you need him back. I'm happy to do that type of work. But I think the work that I find most fulfilling is the work where people are thinking about their future and making like long-term plans. And in my fifth year, I want to make this amount of money. I want to be able to retire at this. I love that, where we're sort of co-create and co-plan together and build a strategy together and then do root work around it. That's the type of work that I've been doing, and I really enjoy that type of work.
I'm with you on that one, trying to help people move forward and get what they want. You know, I've been thinking about doing a show perhaps on the subject of psychic reader burnout, because I hear about it all the time. And one of the reasons that psychic readers do get burned out is that they're not moving their clients forward, and they're not bringing their clients along as they move forward. We all kind of know how to move forward in life, but there's those clients who just need to be broken out of that spin and forward, right? And so one way to avoid psychic reader burnout is to keep your clients focused on the future. So that was it. That was a topic that someday we may discuss.
Yeah.
Well, we have Papa G here, speaking of forward-looking people. Hello, Gregory, and welcome to the show.
Welcome.
Yeah, nice to have you here. So Papa G has brought us the topic of zoological curios, and we'll get to that in just a minute, but we want to hear a little bit more about what's going on in Nashville.
Oh, of course. Always things with the store. We just had it repainted, a very pretty, like a dark charcoal. It looks like the Salem witch house. That's the same color of it, if anyone knows what that looks like. So we're sprucing up the store, but I've been spending more time at home and in the, been spending more time in the home chapel. People who follow me on Facebook know that last year we completely redid the backyard into gardens, where there's not much grass anymore. So I've been spending a lot of time researching, trying to learn to be a better gardener, because I have not been in the past. So I'm itching to get more plants, get this frost zone out of our way, and get out there and get to digging. And I do want to add more plants that we use, and like hoodoo and witchcraft, and get some more
That's
things
always
I can
nice.
Harvest.
Yeah. I don't know if you remember, I did a workshop about that called I think it was called something like Hoodoo Around the Homestead or something. All the plants that we have planted in our yard that are used in conjure and in other forms of magic. And it's really nice to have, you can't grow everything, but it's really nice to have them conveniently to hand. And everything from, you know, walnut leaves to cherry bark to eucalyptus leaves to rose petals, we have it all on our own property. And it really is kind of nice. And it doesn't have to be all of those little fussy things that you have to grow, like summer savory. You can buy that. I mean, you know, but things that will actually stay in place, peppermint will stay, comfrey will stay. And just have those on your property. It's just wonderful to be able to go out and pick them when you need them.
In our visiting Lucky Mojo in 2019 is what inspired us to take a big chunk out of the savings and have all this landscaping done. It's so pretty there on your property.
Oh, thank you. Well, we were just graced with a nice place to begin with, and we've done our best to maintain it and add a few more roses to it. That's sort of our thing. But, yeah, it's really nice if you're going to work with botanical curios to have a beautiful botanical lifestyle. You know, try to make your life in sympathy with the kind of magic you do. There's nothing sadder than going to a neo-pagan gathering on a concrete back patio, you know, in an apartment building. You kind of wonder, how did they get so displaced, you know? Live the life, you know, live the life that your magic is built around is my great hope for everyone, that you can always live the life you... If botanical magic, zoological magic is not your thing, that's fine. You can work in an apartment. But if you really do want to work with the fruits of nature and do natural magic, you need some way to connect with nature, even if it's a park across the street. And that
also,
kind of
the very nature of harvesting your, going out picking your own rose petals and drying them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And they smell so much better. Yeah. It's really great. So this brings us to the zoological curio topic, which is our topic for today.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to introduce this very briefly and then turn it over to Papa G, who brought us the topic. So zoological curios are anything that is made with or about or in the likeness of an animal. It doesn't only refer to things that are animal body parts, but can be statuary. It can be drawings of animals as well, just as to do people magic, you don't need to chop up people and put them in a bottle. You can have their photo. So, but zoological magic has a long history in which body parts of animals are used, and some of those are obtained naturally and some of them are obtained through slaughter. And we mean no offense to those people who are vegetarians, but even the vegetarians will sometimes run across a dead lizard by the side of the road and phone me up and say, "Miss Cat, I found a dead lizard. What can I do with it?" And I'll tell them, because you don't always have to kill the animal to get the body part. So that's my intro to the topic. Let me turn this over to Papa G and let him have at it.
Thank you. Yeah, there's so many things that are used that I think we can... One reason I wanted to talk about this topic is so many people are moving away from using animal parts. And we can discuss how they were used in hoodoo, but there's so many replacements for it. And like you mentioned, statuary. You don't have to have, let's say you do want a lizard, or you do want a salamander or something to use. What are salamanders for? They're usually associated with the element of fire, and they're for like transformation and courage and purification. So why can't you find a nice soapstone little statue of a salamander to put in your working area? To signify those things. So I especially like when you mention statues, because print a picture out. That's a very low cost. Because I found that when I talk to a lot of people about using photographs as petitions, a lot of people don't have printers anymore. I'm like, what? I feel really old when they say that. What do you mean you don't have a printer?
Well, so you know, it's interesting. They've gone back to the Dark Ages. I mean, there was a period of time when everyone had a black and white printer, and then they all started having color printers, and now they don't anymore, and they now are reliant on others. If you don't have a color printer, get one, folks. They're not that expensive. And they're better than a new car. They'll last you a long time.
I print many good, older, public domain images that are, like some of the, some of the curio catalog stuff. And I frame them in frames from the dollar store. They cost a buck, and they look great on the wall. You can do the same thing with your animals if you want to. But we do carry animals in parts in our store, as I know Lucky Mojo does.
Yeah, sure.
And usually things that are obtained, is humanely the right word? Like the gator heads and the gator paws. They are done from farms, but they're also sometimes done because they produce so much. It's almost like they have to be culled back. We'd be run over with alligators.
Right. But a lot of them do come from alligator farms, and people don't know that. They think everyone's out there killing alligators, but they're just raising them as livestock, really.
And luckily, some of the parts that are sold for either decor or magical things, but also for meat.
So that's right.
It is nice to find things that are used for all the parts, not where it's just for the sake of, which quote unquote decor, which most people are not purchasing for magic because I guess they don't know any better.
Yeah. Another one is snake sheds. People who live in cities or aren't familiar with herpetology often think that snake sheds are snake skins, and they think you have to kill and skin the snake And snakes are very valuable, folks. People don't usually be killing their pet ball pythons, you know, especially not their strange morph ball pythons. But those snakes shed regularly, and those snake sheds are used in magic. And we get our snake sheds from a relative of a worker at Lucky Mojo, and have for many, many, many years. She raises snakes, and she has fancy snakes, and she has albino snakes. She has colorful snakes, you name it. But the sheds are really beautiful. Some of them are very pale. Some of them have mottled patterns, depending on what the snake was or is. And those are certainly easy enough to get. You can go down to your local pet store where they have snakes and say, can I get some snake sheds? And they'll probably give them to you.
And, yeah, I've seen that many times. They're like, you shouldn't kill snakes. I'm like, you don't have to kill a snake to get that.
Right. So what these things are used for has to do with the animal. So, for instance, the raccoon penis bone, in other words, known as a coondong, or baculum, is used for male sexual fidelity and male love, because proportionate to the size of the animal, the raccoon has the largest penis bone, at which point, like, now 18 people have raised their hands and go, Miss Cat, what's a penis bone? Most animals, not humans, most animals have a bone in their penis, and people don't, but they refer to an erect penis as a boner because they know that most animals have a bone in their penis. There are very few animals that don't. And so the raccoon penis bone is the largest penis bone relative to the size of the raccoon. So it gives this kind of idea of it being well hung. And so it's used for male sexuality. There are other kinds of body parts from different animals that are used for different things. For instance, the scent of a skunk is a zoological curio. And you can find hunt and trap skunks for fur or whatever they're going to do with them. They will cut out the little gland that has the scent, and they'll clean that up and refine it. What would you use skunk scent for? Well, the same thing skunks use it for, to drive people away. And if you go to the right places, you can buy little bottles of skunk musk. And boy, is it bad. It has to be like, put it in a bottle, put that bottle in another bottle, and put that bottle in another bottle, or it'll completely contaminate your entire shop. So those kinds of things have a meaning that the animal used them for and that people can use them for.
Of course, there's also the good musk, too.
The what? Yeah.
To use in perfumery.
Mm-hmm.
Which most people don't realize comes from the anal glands of some animals. Like, how can that smell good? Somehow it does.
Yeah.
Ambergris,
yes.
A component of, I can't remember which type of whale, like a whale vomit is what it is.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And expensive as hell. It's whale vomit. It solidifies and it floats around in the ocean. Eventually you pitch up on a beach and some little kid in Britain will find it and find 15,000 pounds worth of whale vomit on the beach. And of course then everyone is bidding
rich.
And compete. Yeah, they're competing for it. Yeah. So, Kondran, what do you do with zoological curios? I know you read bones.
I do, yeah. And I also use zoological curios in a lot of my work, ethically farmed, of course. And there's sort of two ways. We've talked about how you can ethically get it from places where it's purchased it. But you can also find zoological curios out there. If you've built a connection with spirit and nature, more often than not, you will find that spirit and nature will gift you something like a bone. So, for example, I have a crow's skull. And crow claws that I have found and taken care of and cleansed and washed and preserved very carefully. And it's something that I found once while I was walking out. And it sits on my altar when I do spirit work, particularly spirit work, where I need to send out my spirit or when I need to communicate with someone via mind, dreams, etc., and it works as an ally there. And you can find various curios out in nature. You should know how to handle things like remains and bones before you go randomly picking things up. But it is a very important way of collecting animal zoological curios is by actually being in nature. We mentioned this a little bit earlier in the show, the difference between living in an apartment versus living in, you know, a place that has a garden. But even when you live in an apartment, your ability to go out in nature, whether it's hikes or whatnot, is incredibly important. Zoological curios are more than just items that you just add on to your spell work. They're more than just items that you throw into a mojo bag or into a jar spell. They're ways of connecting with the spirit of that animal. And so building that relationship with nature, building that connection with the world is really important. I think sometimes people treat zoological curios as just another item on the list. Oh, I'm just going to add a little bit of tooth of this and hair of that, and we're good to go. And I'm like, that's not exactly how zoological curios work. Yes, they have an innate power to them, but what you're doing is invoking the spirit of that creature, working with that entity. And so being out in nature and connecting and finding zoological curios is important. So I have a bunch of different ones. So I do have a tarantula shedding that I got actually from you, Miss Cat. Mm-hmm. Which I've worked with in crossing and cursing work in particular. I have this crow's skull that I keep on an altar that I work with pretty frequently. I work with snake sheds, which are also very common. I work with ground up snail shells, which is another item that I often use. But one of my absolute favorite is gator paws, and we've mentioned them before, gator claws a little bit. They're incredibly great for luck and money, but also for protecting your wealth. There is an old-timey spell in which you take a lucky coin of any denomination, it can be a penny, it can be a quarter, and you affix it to the claw using red thread in a way so that it looks like the claw is holding the coin or gripping the coin. And then you anoint that with blessing oil. And what that does is it will protect your money so that no one can jinx you, and it protects you from poverty, sudden expenses and expenditures and whatnot. So it's amazing, amazing working.
We just got a question in the chat from Dr. Sweets. My great-grandmother's shack of a house now ready to cave in on itself is full of king cobras. Any uses for king cobras in Nudu? Wait a minute. Are you talking about like Indian cobras, or are you talking about king snakes? I'm a little confused. Miss Michael says, does your great-grandmother live in India? Yeah, or maybe she raised king cobras. But king cobras are used for killing spells. King snakes are used for domination.
Yeah.
So good luck with that one.
I mean, are we talking living king cobras, or like there's like a lot of dead king cobras around?
Yeah, I we're confused. But king snakes are used for rulership, and that includes their skins. In the old days, people would actually chop up their bodies too. But I'm very. Dr. Sweet said, oh, okay, in Texas. No, those would be king snakes, not king cobras. Thank God. I had to think of your great-grandmother living among king cobras. We would need a mongoose to get rid of them. okay.
I'd move the hell out of Texas.
Yeah, right. Your aunt says they're king cobras. Go look them up on Wikipedia. Will you do that for me? Do a favor for me on that one. So the thing about these animals like that that have meaning in their life, for instance, snails are very slow. And you can find dead snail shells all around, and they are used crushed and powdered to slow things down in spells to slow things down. For instance, if you were doing a freezer spell on somebody and you wanted to slow their sexuality down, in particular, snail shells are used to slow down women from cheating. You just throw some powdered snail shell in. Crab shells you can get from fisheries. And because crabs walk backwards, you can use crab shell powder on a mirror to circle a reversing candle, and you draw the circle counterclockwise, like as if to turn back time. And so that's another one that's pretty commonly used. I want to say also that there are things you can get from animals without hurting them. For instance, if you brush your black cat, you'll end up with a lot of black cat hair. And black cat hair is used in spells. And so if you have a black dog, brushing again, and you'll get that black dog hair. You don't need to cut it off the dog. But if you have a dog with ever-growing hair, like a poodle or a Portuguese water dog that happens to be black, just ask the groomer for the bag of clippings every time. And if you don't have such a dog, call up a groomer and say, listen, I need some black dog hair for a craft project. Next time you clip a poodle, I'll pay you $5 for a bag of black dog hair. And they may say, no, we can't do that. It's against the law, which is not true, but that's their way of getting out of it. Or they might say, oh, what kind of a craft project? And you say, oh, I'm going to glue it and make a little picture of a dog made out of all curly dog hair glued on to a piece of canvas. And they're going to go, oh, how wonderful. And then they'll sell you the bag of black dog hair and you'll have a lifetime supply.
Or, and if you have a cat and you don't have a dog, I mean, you have, you know, your friend with a dog and you want to do a spell to get two people to fight, get that cat and that dog hair and combine them up, and no cat
That's
or
right.
dog was harmed in this process.
That's right. And one of the things I do when I'm doing a spell with cat and dog hair to make them fight is I'll do it in a narrow tubular type bottle, like a hot sauce bottle. I'll put the dog hair down at one end. I'll put their names and fight like cats and dogs between, and then I'll put the cat hair at the other end and pins and needles in between with the paper so that the dog hair and cat hair are like at the opposite ends and will always fight. And red pepper, also good. Some people will just mingle them all up together with red pepper. That's another way to do it and make them fight like cats and dogs. It's a really simple, old-fashioned way to work, and everyone loves it. I mean, I tell you everyone loves it because I sell an awful lot of black dog hair and black cat hair over the years. Another kind of zoological curio are shells. And you can gather shells along the seashore. All kinds of shells will be found there, snail shells, sea snails, and other kinds of snails. But there's also like whelks and olives and all of them in the snail-ish family. Also abalone shells, which are used for, holding your sage smudge and things like that. They're also used for reading, and you can use any of those shells that have a meaning to them. You can read in the books Throwing the Bones and Bone Shells and Curios how those shells are used as curios in divination.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and lucky stones, lucky rocks. So drumfish have these little ear bones in the back of their heads that look like little pearlescent half discs, like a half of a hamburger bun. But they're little. They're the size of a dime, and they're pearly looking. And those are used for good luck. And you can walk along rivers and lakes, and you'll find them. They stand out because they're white. They're not like a stone. And they're called lucky stones or lucky rocks. And they're used for finding a job or for good luck. They are an absolutely wonderful curio. And our friend Heidi Holton did a whole workshop on them at the last Hoodoo Heritage Festival. And you can buy that workshop for $25 and learn all about it.
And that was a very good workshop where she actually went to a guy's farm was it a fish farm or he was just a fisherman?
He was a fisherman, yeah. He was raising fish, yeah.
And he actually shows you exactly where it is. You see him dress a fish and actually shows you where it is. Heidi did documentary style with that. Everyone go to hoodooworkshops.com and get that. It's worth watching.
And at the end of it, you can fry up the fish and eat it.
Which is what they did.
Yeah. It was a fantastic workshop. Yes. Hey, Maganda says, the L and J stones. That's right. On these fish ear bones, there's a little groove called a sulcus. And on one side of the fish, it looks like the letter L, and on the other side, it looks like the letter J. And people call them luck and joy or Lord Jesus. But they predate Jesus coming to North America because the Native Americans used them, and they predated them using an alphabet. So they just called them lucky stones.
when you mentioned shells, that reminded me of something I actually didn't put in my notes. There's so many different ways you can use, without harming them, chickens in magic. And includes making eggshell powder for protection purposes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, eggshell powder is really great.
I mean, you're not going to hurt the chicken, you know, doing that. Also, there's all sorts of divination work to do with an egg.
Mm-hmm.
Cleansing work to do with an egg.
Mm-hmm.
Where you're actually rubbing the egg around all over someone, removing the negative energy or hex or something. Kat, you have black chickens?
Black chickens, black frizzled fowl, and black chickens of any kind, you can make a whisk to take negative energy off of people. And you can use a wing of a black chicken. If a black chicken dies of old age and natural causes, you might as well save the wing. And but any chicken will molt at least once a year. They will drop their feathers, and if you just carefully collect them, you'll have enough to make a little feather whisk. In fact, you'll have enough to make several feather whisks. And frizzled fowl, which are chickens who have like curly feathers, their feathers just naturally curl, they are considered to be the most, because again, most lucky for taking off things, because their feathers turn backwards, and so that again undoes evil. But any black chicken's feathers will work to use for cleansing.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like most of the chicken, whether it be the feathers or the whole egg or the shell of the egg, it sounds like most chicken parts are used for good work.
Chicken feet are also used. Some people, instead of whisking someone with a chicken feather whisk, will scratch them very lightly. I don't mean they'll draw blood or anything, with chicken foot. And we sell dried chicken feet. And there's been, since about the year 2000, there's been this whole thing of painting them and painting the claws with toenail polish and putting glitter all over them and making, I don't know what, about the chicken feet. Never existed before. It's
I know,
totally...
you talked about that was new. I actually make those, but I don't put glitter on them. But my main point to people is, if you have this weird thing, because I put feathers on the end of them, I paint the nails, and I wind twine or sometimes embroidery thread around it to hold the bunch of feathers, and I put a piece of wire in the back looped so you can hang it up.
How cool.
And I tell people it can be, maybe it's real magic, maybe it's placebo magic. But if you've got that hanging by your front door or in your car rearview mirror, people are going to think, I'm not breaking into that car. That person's got some knowledge I don't want to be any part of.
Well, you know, the use of these chicken feet does go back. It is old in hoodoo. That's no question. It's the painting of them that's more recent. But I see no reason not to paint them. It's kind of fun in a weird way. There was definitely a tradition of using them to scratch down the body to draw off evil and for protection.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Very old school. I want to mention bugs. We haven't really got to bugs yet. Ants.
Oh, my gosh.
Fire ants. Mm-hmm. And incredibly powerful. You can actually work with them live. You don't need dead bugs in this instance. For example, finding a fire ant colony or an ant colony is one way to send a message. You can send and carry this message out to so-and-so. Ants are believed to communicate globally, that an ant in California speaks with ants in Brazil, so that there's a way for them to communicate via colonies. But you can also use it to cross and curse someone, to drive someone mad, to drive someone out of their mind. So they're an incredibly powerful living zoological ally. You can work with the ants in that way. And I know other people who have used dead ants that they then grind up and add to things like goofer dust.
Mm-hmm. Well, every good, well-made goofer dust should have something dead in it.
Yep.
And, I mean, graveyard dirt, but it usually will have something dead in it as well, whatever that may be. because that's why it's goofer dust. I mean, goofer means killing dust or corpse dust. And the recipes for goofer dust are many and varied, but I remember being told when I was a kid you absolutely had to have a snake head to put in your goofer dust. And then someone else said, no, no, a lizard head is just fine. I said, what if you don't have a snake head or a lizard head? And someone else said to me, well, you know, you could put dead snails in it. And I'm like, oh, okay, anything. Basically, we're talking dead stuff. So all goofer dust has dead stuff in it. And which is one reason it smells a little funky. Now, there are individual feathers that have meanings. Vulture feathers, eagle feathers, hawk feathers, in addition to chicken feathers, those are all have meaning and can be used to waft incense or for brushing. Also, there are other things you can do with bugs. There's just a simple folkloric spell, ladybug, ladybug, fly away home. Your house is on fire. Your children are gone. Remember that? All except one, and her name is Nan, and she hid under the frying pan. This is a way to communicate with those little bugs, but also to send them off to new places and have them go and prosper where they will. There's a lot of
Ravens,
yes. I was going to get to termites, though. In addition to ants and termites and bees, those are all social animals. And so one of the things they do is communicate. And the termite hills and the ant hills are places where you can put a petition in to have it communicated.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also the idea of flying ants and flying termites, and of course bees fly when they swarm, fly long distances when they swarm. And these are things that when you see them or can set them into motion, you're sending something out into the world. It can be a person that you want to cause to wander like a crazy ant. And that's another thing. Now, you mentioned ravens.
Yes, I mean, because those are typically used for omens, secrets, maybe revealing secrets, and with them. They were typically associated with the spirit realm.
Yeah.
So using those can be for spirit communication. It can be for to increase your psychic ability because you're wanting more insight. Or just more insight. I mean, don't care if you're psychic. You need the answer to something.
So we have some comments here in been mentioned, the scorpion and the tequila bottle. And scorpions are definitely used for cursing magic. And that goes back to pretty much everywhere where scorpions exist. Dr. Sweet said, can you cleanse yourself with a frizzle black feather whisk or only best to do it on a client? You can cleanse yourself, no question about that. Someone says, I have a scorpion in amber. Yes, those are sold at tourist places in the Southwest, and people who are Scorpios often go, oh, I need to have one of those. They're very protective for people who are Scorpios. And then someone was talking about fireflies. Phyllis Margaret Gabor says, I've noticed less fireflies, and that upsets me. The fireflies are the best part of summer. There has been some reports that fireflies are on the decrease, partly because of urbanization, loss of habitat, and so forth. And then other people said, Asha Aya says, 4 years ago I saw tons of dragonflies. Now I hardly see any. These are all the results of human pollution and pesticide use. Please don't use pesticides if you love nature. Just don't use them. Just say no. But fireflies were very common when I lived in the Midwest briefly, and they were so wonderful, so fun. I don't know if they are still as populous as they used to be.
They certainly aren't around here. I mean, when I was young, it would look like a fireworks explosion. And now it's like, you know, in the heat of the summer, you're like, oh, there's a, we call them lightning bugs.
Sad. Lightning bugs, yeah, lanternfly. People have different names for them, fireflies, yeah. That's sad to hear. The same thing around here on the West Coast. When I was young, we had so many butterflies, it was crazy.
Yes.
I mean, we especially monarch butterflies, and they'd be everywhere, and tiger swallowtails, and we every year now for the last 5 years, we've had like a pair of tiger swallowtails and a pair of monarchs. And our garden is still the same and still has all the wonderful flowers and stuff, but they're not here.
Yeah, it used to be an event when to go out and see the monarch butterflies, and suddenly they gathered in gardens and they gathered in flowers. It was a big old event. Like, you'd go out and just see, and you'd see hundreds and hundreds and thousands of them. And they are scarce now. They're sort of disappeared entirely.
So
makes me think of something about butterflies. If you don't want to go out, instead of going out and capturing and killing a butterfly, you know, putting a pin through them, butterflies are typically used for attraction, magic.
Mm-hmm.
Why not get yourself a butterfly bush to plant in the yard, if you have a yard, and bury your petitions beneath the butterfly bush?
Mm. How
instead
lovely.
Of hurting the butterfly.
Yes, that's so sweet. Plant pollinators anyway. Plant lots of pollinators. We have a little conversation in the chat. Are June bugs fireflies? No, June bugs are a type of scarab beetle, and they are sort of iridescent. They're also are a kind of cricket that people should know about called a Jerusalem cricket or potato bug, but they're not a bug. They are a cricket, and they live under the ground, and if you've ever found one, you know what I mean. If you haven't found one, just be patient. You'll find one if you plant potatoes. Now, they like tilled soil. They don't eat the potatoes necessarily. They just like tilled soil. They're a cricket that's so, yes, and Shiva wrote, and so gross.
Yes.
They're gross. But they are harmless and wonderfully intelligent. And I find that you should never harm one of those potato bugs, or as I call them, Jerusalem crickets. They're called Jerusalem crickets because they actually like to eat Jerusalem artichokes, which actually are not artichokes. They are sunflowers. This is what's wrong with common names, okay? So, but June bugs make a noise. Yeah, they're what's called in Europe, they're called cockchafer, and they make this sound with their wings, rubbing their wings together. And they are wild, very wild. They can be a bit of a pest. All of these flying insects of summer can be used to make a wish captured and let go. And Phyllis Margaret Gabor said June bugs are drunk drivers too. Yeah, they are. They just they really are kind of heavy, and they just bumble into things. Phyllis Margaret Gabor, who was obviously a nature lover, says you can find dead praying mantis at the end of summer. Well, if you find them dead, you can certainly grind them up for gopher dust. So all of these animals, though, that fly can be given a prayer and asked to fly away and carry it to the one you love. It's a very useful form of work. Just capture them in your hands, breathe mm-hmm. your prayer, and let them go. Zoological curios often are living beings. I mean, they really
yep.
are mm-hmm. someone who is alive. I wanted to mention cat whiskers. There's a story that many cat people will tell you. Cats grow their whiskers, which are a form of hair, specialized hair, and they shed them. Every once in a while, a cat whisker will fall out. And when it falls out and you find it, that is said to be a very special thing, and you should save it. And people will save them in like long glass tubes or in a little vase of cat whiskers. And I know one woman who has cat whiskers from the past, 45 or 50 years worth of cats that she has. Now, her cats are in an apartment with her, and so they don't lose their whiskers anywhere, but in the apartment she has very sharp eyes, and she picks them up. And the cat whiskers can be used as feelers or pointers in a sort of a divinatory sense. They're very sturdy. They're very odd. And you should save them if you find cat whiskers. Just a thought.
I also want to tell everyone that this is the year to do some luck and prosperity magic, because this is the year that billions of cicadas there's this rare double brood event coming this year, that the last time it happened was 1803. where there
will be tons of them. We got to explain, Gregory, because I know you know and you know I know. There are 13-year cicadas and 17-year cicadas, and what they mean by a double brood, they're both coming due on the same, you know, they've overlapped. It's fantastic. Yes.
You know, I have actually a jade necklace on my altar that is a jade. Well, it's not a real cicada. It's in the shape of one. But, yeah, they're used for luck and prosperity. And this would be a good year to work on that kind of work. They're coming.
I want to put in a word for parrot feathers. I don't know if we've mentioned them yet. I might have missed it. But parrot feathers was Draha Mikaharik's favorite working. If anyone's ever read any of Draha's books, he talks frequently about parrot feathers to get someone to talk or communicate with you. And they are wonderful. If you add a parrot feather, for example, in communication spells, they can definitely work in that way to communicate with you.
And there's two different spells he teaches. One is to get someone to speak to you, you know, someone you've had a loss of communication with. And the other way is to get somebody to testify in court, make them talk, in other words. And, because parrots are speaking birds. That's the reason why the parrot is used rather than, for instance, the hen or the raven. Well, ravens will talk, but they don't always tell the truth the way parrots will. And so
I always learned something on this show. That never even occurred to me to use parrots for communication. Or I guess mine are birds too.
Yeah, I have some macaw feathers up right here, and I use one of them. It's a particular blue macaw feather. It's actually from a scarlet macaw, and it's sort of scarlet at the bottom and blue at the tip. It's really incredible. And you can take that parrot feather, and you tickle the photo, right? You tickle the photo, and you say, now, come on. You're going to talk to me. You're going to speak. You're going to come back and talk to me. It works. I've done it. It's really amazing, and it helps if it comes from a talking parrot, but just any parrot will do. Another one for blue jays. Blue jays are very protective of their territory, and I always have kept a little vase of blue jay feathers to scare off enemies. Blue jays, you know, when a bird comes in that they don't like, they scream and scream and scream until that bird has to leave. And so blue jays are sort of a guardian spirit kind of animal. And
they will chase you.
Yes, they will. They will chase cats and they will chase other birds. They're very, very aggressive to keep their territory. So let's see, somebody is laughing at Tickle the Photo. Yeah, that's right.
I didn't think you were talking about rabbits.
I was visualizing the image.
Rabbit's feet we haven't mentioned. Let me rewind for just a second, because you had already discussed bees. Of course, never kill bees.
Never kill bees,
but,
right.
But it's so obvious, honey, in your honey jars. That is a zoological item. So, I forgot to bring that up before. But, yeah, rabbit's feet. You'll find that a lot of the rabbit's feet you get today on a keychain, they're not actually real, which is good, but they do symbolize it. They've actually recreated the bone structure in the foot with wire and the hairs and stuff.
Here. Wow. Well, one quick thing before we go. Phyllis Margaret Gabor said she found a little brown bat dead on a sidewalk and put it in her freezer and can't figure out what to do with it. Bats are for good luck in Chinese magic. Their name is Fu, which is also the word for luck. And you can read up the 5 bats of happiness. Just go read it. So bats are always used for happiness and joy in Chinese magic. All right. Boy, we went through a lot of species, and now we're going to turn this over to Reverend James.
Thank you, Ms. Kat. Support for this program is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners located online at readersandrootworkers.org, and by Hoodoo Psychics, The first psychic line run entirely by hoodoo practitioners. Receive a reading with a trusted root worker instantly. Call 1-888-4-HOODOO or visit hoodoopsychic.com. And by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of the Association of Independent Spiritual Churches located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now let's go to the phones and talk to today's client. Our client is Pensacola Patty, calling from area code 850 in Florida. Pensacola Patty, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Wonderful. And you've had readings before, but not a reading on this situation. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. And she writes, greetings. I would like to have a reading and root work recommendations follow up on my root work to see if further root work needs to be completed to keep a toxic person out of my life. She stole my identity, hijacked my email, Facebook, and Instagram, and all of my magical supplies collected over the course of several decades were also thrown out by someone who doesn't even agree with anything that is not 100% Christian. Turning it over to you, Ms. Kat.
All right. Well, Conjurman, do you recognize Pensacola Patty?
No. Should I?
You're going to. I'm going to have you talk with Pensacola Patty for a moment. And Pensacola Patty has a real situation here and is trying to do some magic to get rid of a person who has stolen their identity. Once she knows her own root work and has done it. Is that right, Pensacola Patty?
That's correct, ma'am.
Oh, right. Yes. Now I recognize.
Aha. The man gave it away.
I wasn't listening.
The man.
The man.
So, Conjurman, could you do the first reading, and then Papa G will do the second, and I'll give her some root work advice, okay?
Yes, I'm more than happy to do. My pleasure and my honor to read for Pensacola Patty. I have pulled three cards here, and I'm going to go over them for you. The very first card is the King of Swords, and the King of Swords shows us a royal figure sitting upon a throne, and they have their sword at an angle. This is interesting because it mirrors in some way the Justice card, but the sword here is at an angle, and it is an indication of a much harsher outcome. It speaks of the past. It speaks to a person who makes quick judgments, who makes harsh judgments, and whose judgments are unfair. You mentioned, for example, that this person doesn't allow for anything that doesn't fit within their very narrow religious framework. And the King of Swords speaks to that. It is a person who has a very limited view of the world, and anything that doesn't fit within that narrow view of the world is cut down. Now, the next card, which speaks to the present and what you have done, is the Knight of Pentacles. The Knight of Pentacles shows us an individual that is on a horse, and it's the only knight within the cards that is stationary. There he is holding a golden coin in his hand, and behind him is a plowed field. It's an indication that you have planted your seeds well, that you have tended your work well. In the case of root work, quite literally planting seeds, root work is called root work for a reason. It works with the earth. It shows me that you know what you're doing. You're capable, you're strong, you're powerful, you're knowledgeable, and you have applied your knowledge, your background information, your skills appropriately. This is a knight who isn't just a soldier, but is a knight who also knows about farming. So this tells me that you didn't just go to war, you went and did the right actions. You brought in the proper knowledge of root work here. But it is a card that is stationary. It talks about delays. It talks about waiting. It talks about patience. It's an indication that you have planted the seed, but they haven't borne fruit quite yet. And that's where we get to the next card. And the next card is the Page of Swords. The Page of Swords is one of motion. So we can sort of see an image where we see the Knight of Pentacles. He's planted his seeds and nothing is really happening yet, to the Page of Swords where things are very much happening. This is a person who is holding their sword. They're walking forward, but the winds are blowing quite strongly, but they're also turning back and looking slightly behind them. This means that you will have victory, that you will get what you want, but it may be a partial victory, that there is some element about this person where they're able to exert themselves one final time. they may be able to do one final thing to try to draw your attention away. So there may be one more event coming or one more action coming by this person that is going to sort of catch your attention, that is going to make you turn around and go, wait, what the heck? I thought I had already dealt with this. So be mindful of that. Victory is coming your way, but this person isn't fully defeated. This person may do one more thing, one more action, one more act of harm that causes you to turn around and go, ooh, what's going on here? So my recommendation is to do some work to speed this up, to increase heat, to bring pressure. I'm sort of signposting here for Ms. Cat, who will know exactly what I'm talking about when I say increase the pressure on this. And then some type of working that involves walking away and not looking back. You don't want to be dragged back into this person's mess. And if you do that, I have a strong sense that the work you've already done will come to fruition and give you full victory, not just the sort of partial victory that we see here in the reading. That's what I see here. I'm going to turn this over to Papa G. It was my honor to read for you, and Ms. Kat will give some recommendations.
Thank you kindly.
Hello.
Okay.
Patty of Pensacola. I pulled the cards while Conjurman was talking, and the first card is actually the Three of Cups. I get the impression that this happened at a time where everything just seemed to be going right for you. And then this dropped. It's like you had some problems, and then all of a sudden everything started to level out and be good again, and then this happened. Is that correct?
Things were about to be very perfect. You're absolutely right. My significant other was getting ready to come back from England, and we were going to be married. So this person was trying to literally take over my identity. She hijacked my Gmail, my Facebook, my Instagram. She literally took over my life. She was my closest friend of 15 years. The person that hacked over, that got rid of all of my magical supplies everything that Ali said was true and correct.
Right.
With regard, yeah. So, yes, you're
I get what you're saying. So that's good confirmation. It happened at a time where everything was getting ready to be wonderful, and it was time to celebrate.
Yes.
But then comes the second card, which is Ten of Swords.
Yes.
Mm.
Which is, you know, totally stabbed in the back. These are deep wounds. This is a total betrayal.
Oh, yeah.
A crisis, total defeat. And then no one wants that card. So, but the third card is the Wheel of Fortune in reverse.
Mm-hmm.
Which, when it's in reverse, of course, it's the Wheel of Fortune. We have no control over it at the time it's happening. But it is about breaking cycles. It can be bad luck. So I agree with Conjurman Ali that don't let your defenses down. More is coming.
Mm-hmm.
Double hit it.
Right.
So, Kat, how do you think she should double hit it?
Well, yeah, I'm looking at this and saying, we would love for this to have been a wonderful, like, yeah, you've completely put this person away, but it's not so. This person has some resources and may still have a few things to do to you. So be very cautious. Don't let this person know what you're doing. And so let's talk about the kind of spell you did. Can you just, like, in a half a sentence or one sentence, what kind of work have you done to confine this person?
Yes, ma'am. Well, my, like I said, all of my every.
Yeah, but I know that part. Let's go back to that. What did you do?
I did the only thing that I could do with limited resources, which, in, you know, not for nothing, simple magic is still great magic. So I threw them in a vinegar jar, and I do my vinegar jars on Halloween for protection and for cursing. So, great. This show was done around magical curios, and I threw them in with a spider and with black cat hair.
And
normal, you know, things that we always throw them in with rusty nails and other things of that nature. So they're in there with all the right stuff.
Okay. All right. Well, give me a little moment now to comment, because what we've got here is that we've been told by both readers that you're going to have to do something more. So I'm going to say that vinegar jar, if you have that around your place, you may want to carry that vinegar jar to a graveyard and bury it upside down. And maybe poke a tiny little pinhole in it so that it drips out. Or you could take it to a body of water. Certainly Pensacola, you would have some water near you. Poke a hole in that vinegar jar and send it out to sea, as it were, or downstream or down the river. You need to get that vinegar jar away from your place. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Okay. And then also, if you're going to do that, I like I said, I like graveyards, but, you know, you are near the water, so that's good.
Yep.
But you need to, when you do that, that would be fine. If you have a picture of them, and I believe you can get a picture of them from social media if you don't have a picture of them, whatever you've got, you might want to also burn that picture upside down. In other words, place the head down and the body up, or the neck up, or whatever. Burn that to ashes upside down, and just throw those ashes in the vinegar jar as well. Just another little thing to kind of put them off and upside down. But you don't have to. The reason I like the ashes, because they symbolize a death. This person will come back one more time, but after that, I think you'll be safe. You just have to get the thing off your property. Again, if you stop mentioning them, don't mention their name. If you ever mention their name, at least call them by their first and last name, or give them another name. And because every time you say their name, they're drawing power from it, and they are hurting you again. And this was a terrible, I mean, Ten of Swords, my God, it's like stabbed in the back and left for dead, which is basically what happened. So when you get that work done, come back and we can do another reading in a few weeks on that, and also what we can do to move you forward. We were talking earlier on the show about how really we like to do spells for good, like to get you going in your career, to get you, everything that you need to rebuild as far as both your hoodoo spiritual supplies that were taken away from you, which is a lot. That's a lifetime or half a lifetime of accumulation. And it's terrible. And we know people that this has happened to. And also to get you, I mean, you don't need your knowledge and wisdom back. You still got that. But you need to get your courage back. So I'm also going to recommend that you do a bath with some maybe Crucible of Courage oil, or you can use any of the solar flowers, or lemongrass is also good, Chinese wash is good. Do some cleanup and do something that is, springtime is coming now, things are going to be going better. But do some cleansing and some power work for yourself, but do not do it until after the eclipse on April 8th, because the eclipse undoes everything. Get rid of this person, before we have the eclipse. Clean yourself after the eclipse, okay? Does that make sense?
Yes, ma'am.
All right.
Absolutely. And thank you all so much.
Yeah.
I appreciate
it. Does anyone
y'all.
Else have anything to add to this?
Yeah, once this person is gone, it's super important to do protection work to make sure that you remain safe, that you prevent any sort of event or anything that happens, in their attempt to come back and their attempt to gain some type of foothold is unsuccessful. So get yourself some type of personal talisman, some type of protection. Mojo is really useful here. It can also just be a medallion that you wear regularly, that you've anointed with protection oil, that you've said prayers over Psalm 91, and that you keep on you. And also keep your home cleansed. I know you have limited resources right now, so you can use just a broom that you've prayed over. You can even sprinkle a little bit of salt, take the broom and sweep the salt up. And what this will do is it'll gather the evil, gather the issues that are in the home and drive them out. Take this, move it, brush it away from your house, brush it off of your property, get it away, and then get yourself a nice basil plant. Keep that basil plant in the mm-hmm. house. Keep it alive. Mm-hmm. So long as that basil plant is alive and remains in the home, no evil shall enter the home.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and remember that basils, are annual, so they will flower mm-hmm. and then to seed. So chop off the flower heads, and then when the basil plant is done for the year, see if you need another one. They're always good to have around, or you can dry the leaves and use them. Another thing, which we've done before for people who've had their lifetime supply of things destroyed by fire or by flood or by evil relatives, and this has happened more than once. You're not the only person this has happened to, where some fanatic person of some religion, and I have to say not always Christian, it can be another fanatic religion, will completely destroy their collection, even of herbs, on the idea that these were magic and these were bad, even if they were culinary herbs. So we do have something at AIR called the Pro Bono Fund, and you can apply there. And people will donate things to you who are members of AIR. You know, they'll send you candles or books or things like that. And, it's so sad when we hear of a respected and well-known practitioner who's had everything destroyed. That is horrible. The identity theft is a different issue, and you're going to be very much made stronger for dealing with that. But as far as getting back all of those supplies, send out a little notice. Go to the Lucky Mojo forum. There's a thing about the Pro Bono Fund. In fact, you probably know where it is. You can go to AIR. It's a little form mm-hmm. you fill out. And I know there are people here on this particular call who would be glad to send you something wonderful. And Miss Michael would certainly knows about how to get stuff to people through the Pro Bono Fund, and so do I. And so forth, and we'll get you some things. How about you, Papa G? Do you have anything to recommend?
I was just going to say, I know who the caller is. I'd be happy to send a very big care package of stuff.
Oh, thank you,
great.
Papa G. Thank
yes,
you,
I think,
y'all. I want to let y'all know, too, and Miss Kat, number one of the first things that I did when I got, I came in and I cleansed here with salt, and there is a local herb shop, and of course white sage, and I bought a basil plant, and I
oh,
know
good.
How to make
great.
Because of you I make my own spiritual baths, and so I made a lemongrass bath, a protection
oh,
bath, and I did that already, but I'm going to make one certainly after the eclipse, because I've learned
yeah.
from you not to do anything during an eclipse. So
yeah.
I know the music
and
coming on.
I gotta say,
that. Thank you.
I got to say, it's just like what they used to say back in the country. They say you can't teach an old dog how to suck eggs. They already know how.
I love you. Thank y'all.
I love you too, Pensacola
prayers.
Patty.
Prayers and blessings.
We'll be in touch. All right. Wow. Okay, well, that was a surprise. I noticed that some people in the chat were saying hi. They knew who it was. And we wish all the best. So next up is our network identification and our spectacular tritone, followed by the free spell.
LMC. You're listening to the LMC Radio Network, broadcasting out of Forestville, California, on the World Wide Web at LuckyMojo.com. The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman, Sundays, 3 to 4:30, Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places with Reverend Art and Reverend James, Mondays, 4 to 5:30, The Crystal Silence League Hour with John St. Germain, in syndication, Tuesdays, The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Miss Phoenix LeFay, in syndication, Tuesdays, The Now You Know Show with Professor Porterfield, in syndication, Wednesdays, and The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Deborah Voith, Thursdays, 4 to 5. All time specific, add 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com.
Some quick announcements about those upcoming shows on the LMC Radio Network. Monday, March 25th at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern on the Mystics and Mages and Magical Places with Reverend Art and myself will be Reverend Roy bringing the topic of shamanic healing. And Tuesday, March 26th on the Crystal Silence League in syndication will be paranormalist Jim Callahan on Spirits, Part 2. And Tuesday, March 26th on The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron in syndication with Miss Elvira and Phoenix LeFay will be the topic of druids. And Wednesday, March 27th, on the Now You Know Show, in syndication with Professor Porterfield, will be the topic of Bedtime Psalms and Silver Dimes. And Thursday, March 28th, at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern, on The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Miss Elvira and Deborah Voith, will be the topic of Balancing Our Elemental Energies. And now it's time for our free spell segment from our special guest, Papa G, of FolkMagicStudio.com in Nashville, Tennessee. Take it away, Papa G.
Thank you, Reverend James. This is a spell I wrote for this particular topic that is animal-related, but no animals were harmed. So I call this the Hatching Your Goals spell. And what we're going to do first is we're going to make a nest. But the things you need are Spanish moss, super cheap, 3 feathers. You'll need a citrine or a sunstone. This can be found in many metaphysical shops. 1 small lodestone, some grains of paradise, some attraction incense, which you can find at Lucky Mojo, and a paper and a pen. Now, the Native Americans, they used birds in their totem poles as symbols of the many things to represent the properties they would like to bring into their lives. Just as we discussed, Conjurman brought up in the beginning of the show, this is about, you know, planning for your goals. I think this is a theme we've got going here. So what you're going to do first is you're going to need a bird's nest. Now, since it's taking a bird's nest from the wild is considered unlucky and a little bit cruel, you can easily craft your own by shaping Spanish moss into a bowl shape until it resembles a nest. I keep a nest on my own altar for this purpose. And what you'll do is sit there, just shape it until you put a bowl. You can set it into a smaller bowl to help you shape it. If you want it to be sturdier, you can actually use spray adhesive on it or some other glue. You can make your own paste from flour if you want it to be more natural. Or you can also purchase man-made nests from craft stores. So what you do is you take the 3 feathers and you weave them into the inside of the nest. And what the 3 feathers represent are faith, hope, and love, which are the 3 things you actually need in order to begin manifesting things in your life. Then you will sprinkle several pinches of the grains of paradise into the nest, which is supposed to help make your wishes come true. Then you're going to get your piece of paper and a pen. We're talking about a small piece of paper, maybe 3 inches by 3 inches. And write out your petition, clearly stating the goals and everything you want to manifest. Fold it towards you as many times as possible and place it into the bottom of the nest. You'll then either place the citrine or sunstone, your choice, on top of that folded petition. Both of these stones, they act as a source of energy for your dreams. They encourage growth. They encourage manifestation. So the next step you're going to add with that stone, you're going to add in the lodestone, which would be for attraction. pulling things to you, the things that you're wanting. You'll then take your attraction incense and light it in a fire-safe dish. You hold the nest above the incense and allow the smoke to surround it from the bottom. It'll hold it right in the center over the stream of the smoke and let it just begin to spill up over the sides. And while you're doing this, you're praying for the realization of your goals while you watch the smoke cleanse the nest. And when it's done, you place the nest somewhere up high, the way a bird would build their nest up high. And make sure somewhere it won't be disturbed, or a high spot on your altar if you have one. And that's pretty much it. And if you have new goals, don't be afraid to continue to put more petitions in there. Put in new goals. Keep them going.
That's really a neat spell. I really
Very
like
creative,
that.
Yeah.
Now, you said three birds' feathers. Does it matter what kind of bird or what color the feathers are?
I think it would depend on, I don't think it matters too much because of what they symbolize, but if your goals are very specific, why not use the color that you would normally like in your candle magic? If it's money, mm-hmm. use green. If it's success, use purple.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I also have something to add to that, which is about people who are going to go, where do I get bird feathers? Go to a pet store and ask them for some cast-off bird feathers. They always have them. And or go to a feed store where they, you know, keep in the back chickens and doves and things like that. You can find cast-off feathers there. If you were looking for love, for instance, and domesticity, the dove feathers would be very nice because they're very cooey and, you know, always stay close to their mate. So there are many different kinds of feathers. You can buy feathers online, too. I only mention this because people always ask, you know, where do I get feathers from? So it's a lovely spell, very, very sweet. And I love the idea of those man-made nests. They come usually from Asia. They're often made in China. They're sometimes made in Korea. People weave actual little nests with twigs, and then you can line them with Spanish moss, and you don't have to take them away from a bird. That's a really great way
to work. You can also use the same spell and change a few things, ingredients, to use it if you're having fertility problems.
Oh, wow.
Oh, of course.
That's
a wonderful
brilliant.
Idea.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah, to bring a little chick to your desk. And so many people are having fertility problems these days. We hear about it a lot. That's a whole other topic for another show. Well, there's our music. Thank you so much, Papa G, for being such a great guest and having so many good ideas. Thank you, Conjurman. We're going to turn this over to Reverend James, and he's going to read our announcements, and we'll come back and make a couple of announcements maybe, and we'll say goodbye.
Thank you, Miss Cat and Conjurman, and thank you, Papa G of FolkMagicStudio.com in Nashville, Tennessee, for being our guest this week. We invite you to join us next week when we will have a rebroadcast of one of our favorite episodes, and we'll return April 7th with an Oracle Hour with Z Manzilla with a tutorial on the Pie of Panda I Ching Oracle Deck. Once again, we've come to the end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Miss Cat via the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and Conjurman at conjurmanconsulting.com in Mission Viejo, California. I'm your announcer, Reverend James, joining you from folkconjure.com in North Carolina. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, and the shows are available in archive via luckymojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to thank you for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at this same time when you will hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody. Bye.
Thank you, Reverend James. And we are taking a week off. A lot of people go away for spring break, Easter break, whatever it's going to be. And so we're going to take a week off. And but we'll be back. Don't worry. It's just 1 week off. And so I guess the other thing I have to say is if y'all want to contribute to the Pro Bono Fund, we do accept contributions. You can go to AIR, readersandrootworkers.org, And look up. There's a listing there for the Pro Bono Fund. And actually, the Pro Bono Fund buys rootwork supplies for people who have a tragedy and lose them, as we've just heard about. And they come out of gifts that are given also. We don't always take money, but we will... People who make things will contribute them. People who harvest herbs will contribute them. And we will get this person reset up with a whole new hoodoo cupboard, courtesy of AIR. Good night, all.
Good night.
Good night.
Bye.
Farewell. See you in a couple of weeks.